All right, let's begin then. The first question goes to Pat. And the question is this. If the New Testament is that perfect, then why didn't Paul, who was instructing the New Testament church, say now that tongues, prophecy, knowledge is done away? God had no problem saying the old covenant was done away in Christ. You understand the question, Pat? Why didn't he say that it was done away if that's what the perfect was?
Well, that's easy because remember, that which is perfect, the completed New Testament, didn't come into existence till, we'll say, 125 A.D. He was long since dead by then. So he had to speak of it in the terms of the future. Just like Jesus spoke of the destruction of Jerusalem in the future tense, Matthew 24. And it didn't happen until maybe 35 or 37 years after he died. So he couldn't speak of it in the past tense. He could only speak of it in the future tense. That didn't mean that it didn't happen, though. It did. Both of them happened.
You want to bring chairs? Bring chair up here instead.
Yeah, to read the question again.
Okay.
You just leave it up there, lady.
What do I do with it? Did you pick it up, Ted?
Is it up there?
Did I leave it?
Okay, I
there. There, okay. It is right there.
All right, so number one, it's a good question because Paul acknowledged that he did not know everything. Paul said, we see through a glass dimly. We're looking through it darkly. We know in part. Now, the last I checked the Bible, one-third of the New Testament was written by Paul, a man who said, I only know in part. So he could have only wrote what he knew. And he said, I only know in part. So if the person that did the writing only knew in part, I promise you the person that's reading it can't know in full. You can only know in full what he wrote, and he said, I wrote only in part. And that seems to be very clear to me.
Darrell, stay right there, and we'll give the next question to you. Next question is not really written in the form of a question. It just says, Zechariah 13, 1 through 4, in that day, underlying, prophets will pass away.
Okay. Like I said, I don't know what the question is. But once again, when you get to the when and to the end that day, you deal with relative terms. Because if you go through Israel's history, you will find many periods of time of 70 years, 100 years, 85 years. Between Malachi and the book of Matthew, there was 400 years. But there were no mighty works done. The Spirit of the Lord was pretty much dormant. And the Bible makes that clear. So Zechariah 13 has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about in that day. That's a relative term. If you read for yourself that passage of Scripture, I promise you that unless you are indoctrinated by Pat or somebody else, if you read Zechariah 13, 2 by yourself, you read it without his interpretation, there's not one soul on the face of this earth would say, hey, that means that the gift of prophecy in tongues has ceased. Nobody would believe that. Nobody would read that in it. But whenever you see and you read that which is perfect will come, when that which is perfect comes, and then you read another passage of Scripture that tells you that when we see him as he is, then we'll know as, then you won't have no trouble understanding that. But in that day is a relative term. That's all there is. There's all kind of periods. Go home and do a search for it. From Genesis to Revelation, there's periods of time, some long, some short, some 400 years, some of it where there was no prophets in the land. So that's it has no bearing on the subject whatsoever as to when that which is perfect comes. We know what's perfect. What's perfect is Jesus Christ. And those who wrote in part could not possibly have known in full, wrote in part. It can't be perfect and then sub-perfect at the same time.
Darryl,
perfect
is
out. Perfect.
Pastor, you got 1 minute?
Now, I think we finally have a response from Darrell Zechariah 13. I think he's saying in that day refers to the time period between when that was written and the New Testament days, when there was kind of like a silent time period. But that's not so. That's not so any more than the second coming. Because it tells us the time period. In that day there should be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. That wasn't during the silent period. That was during the time period of the first coming of Christ. Right? They weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. That wasn't during the silent period. That was during the time period of the first coming of Christ. 12:10, my son whom they have pierced. That wasn't during that silent period before the New Testament time. That was during the time period of the first coming of Christ. Chapter 13, verse 7, smite the shepherd, the sheep shall be scattered. That wasn't during that period that he's saying it is. That was during the time period of the first coming of Christ. You see that? The Bible tells us. He says, oh, that's referring to the silent period. No, the Bible tells us when this is. Prophecy would cease during the time period of the first coming of Christ. Not in those hundreds of years before the book of Matthew. You see, the Bible tells us who's right on this. It's pretty easy, isn't it?
Amen.
Okay, Pat, this question goes to you. It says, anoint with oil and the sick would be healed. And then, I'm going to put this question together with that one, Pat. Are you saying that my sick body will have to remain like this? Why am I praying if so?
In James chapter 5, verse 14, it talks about the anointing with oil. Let them pray over him. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. I believe that's talking about miraculous healing. Perhaps Daryl agrees with me. He can tell us. That it's talking about miraculous healing, the laying on of hands and things like that with other elders, the anointing of oil. Therefore, that was one of the things that ceased according to 1 Corinthians 13. All right? Because 1 Corinthians 13 says these miraculous things would cease at some time, and we've proven when. However, I believe that we can pray to get today, and God, if He chooses to, can heal somebody. That's where Daryl misunderstands my position. I've never said that God would never heal somebody today. But what I have said is that the gift of healing, where a man could lay hands on somebody and then be healed 100% of the time, every time, to confirm the word, God healing them that way, that has ceased. That's what I have said.
Daryl, 1 minute.
Pat, once again, goes back to his old tricks and said that I attributed Zechariah 13 to the dry period between Malachi and Matthew. I've done no such a thing. I merely said that there were periods of time all through the Bible. Therefore, it was a relative term and had no issue with this. That's what I said. I did not say that between Malachi and Matthew. I said, go through all the Bible. You'll find 70-year periods, 80, 100-year periods, 40-year periods. That's what I said. Pat likes to say he said things. You know, that's a trick even of an atheist. That's what they like to do. These atheists likes to insert something into an argument that you didn't say and then use what they insert to prove you wrong. As far as your body being healed, you either believe in healing and what the Scripture says, or you don't. One or the other. If you do not believe in it, I hope you don't never need it.
Daryl, I'll get the next question to you, Daryl.
This question is for Daryl. Will you not believe the signs written, John 20, verses 30 and 31? Will you demonstrate some sign, Mark 16, 17 through 20? Will you not believe the signs written, John 20, 30 and 31? These things are written, which you might believe. And then will you demonstrate some sign? Mark 16, talking about the signs will follow.
Are they asking me to demonstrate one tonight? Okay. All right. Y'all ready? Listen. First of all, if it's a sign in the Bible, and the Bible says it was a biblical sign, I believe it. And if the Bible says that these signs will follow them that believe, then those who claim they believe, I will look for those signs to follow them. Now, as for me to demonstrate one, to ask me to demonstrate a sign of God before you ask to show this off, is the same thing that was asked Jesus by a group of people that he called an adulterous and wicked generation. And the only sign you'll receive is the preaching of the prophet Gemini. That's what the Lord said. So you may consider, and that you seek after a sign and won't want in a magical way demonstrated for you. You just linked yourself with what Jesus said was evil.
Yeah.
Daryl is correct. In Mark 16, it talks about the signs shall follow the believers. In the verse 20 of Mark 16, it says that the signs did follow those believers. So the Bible tells us that it was fulfilled. This passage in Mark 16 does not tell the duration of the gifts, because obviously Daryl believes the gifts will cease at some time. I think he thinks at the second coming of Christ. So Mark 16 is not telling us the duration of the gifts, just that while they are in operation, they will follow the believers. Zechariah 13 and 1 Corinthians 13 are the only passages, as far as I know, that tell the duration of the gifts, and they tell us they cease during the time period of the first coming of Christ, during the time period when the New Testament revelation was complete.
That makes questions for you.
Does not God now do now what He always did? Hebrews 13.
Is that the verse that says Jesus the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow? If I'm not quoting exactly right. Jesus, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus is the same, but He does not necessarily always do things the same way. For example, in Hebrews 7, verse 12, He says the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. And that's why we don't do animal sacrifices anymore, or circumcision is not binding. Jesus hasn't changed, but the law has changed. We're not under the law of Moses anymore. We're under the law of Christ. It's the same way with the gifts. Jesus has not changed, but He said, remember, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the ones that inspired Paul to write in 1 Corinthians 13 that the tongues would cease. So the operation of tongues will cease at some time or another. It will change. I believe it's already happened. Daryl doesn't. But we both agree that the operation of tongues would cease at some time. So Jesus would never change, but the law and the operation of the gifts would.
Pat don't believe in miracles, and he does believe in miracles. He ought to have been a politician. If I knew Pat believes in miracles, I wouldn't even fool with this today. Pat believes that God does still work miracles. He just don't do it all the time. Well, I believe that. But Pat said on the tape that he didn't see nothing God done as a miracle, though he prays to a being that is outside our space time dimension and intervenes in his life. So I think Pat believes in a miracle, and he don't believe in a miracle. Believes God will do it sometime. Sometime God won't do it. He don't always do things the same way. I believe most all of that. But the Lord does work miracles today.
Amen.
And I have a list of them. Not a whole bunch, but I have a list of them I could tell you. But there'd be no need to do that, because it'd be cast and thrown before swine, insomuch as the subject goes. Because there ain't nothing I can say to make him believe that it's a bona fide miracle. Though there was a lady with a scarf on her head sent home to die in Searcy, Arkansas. Me and two other ministers, she was dying. She was sent home to die. No hair on her head. We laid hands on her, and the woman was healed. That moment to this day, she lived.
Now, Daryl, the rest of the questions are directed toward Pat, so we'll have to go first just because of the way these are written. Pat, this question is, the disciples were to go and ordain 70, and then that 70 would ordain 70 and so forth, suggesting the idea that the spiritual gifts would continue and be passed on.
Now, is the ordaining of 70 in Matthew chapter 10? I'm trying to remember. Is that right, Greg?
I believe that's right.
I'm thinking Luke 10.
Okay. Now, I don't remember the idea of the 70 ordaining another 70, but that's possible that it's in there. I don't remember that these 70 were ordained and they were supposed to go to 70 more and 70 more. Somebody can point out that scripture to me, because my memory is not really good, so I could just be misremembering. I don't remember that. However,
one and two.
What?
Luke 10, 1 and 2.
Okay, let's turn there. That way we won't go by my faulty memory. Luke 10, 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place, whither He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. But anyway, the point is, I do believe that Jesus sent out the 70, or whatever the number is. But the thing that they were to do was to preach the gospel. If I'm correct, it's called the limited commission, because they were only to preach to the Jews at this point in time. Their main commission was to preach. Did they perform the miraculous? I believe that they did. But it does not tell the duration of the gifts. 1 Corinthians 13, Kitty, I love you, it tells us the duration of the gifts. Okay, so whenever that which is perfect has come, it doesn't matter what about the limited commission we believe, whether the 70 go to 70 more and so forth. Whenever first that which is perfect has come, the tongues we're going to cease. The Bible says that. So if the Bible teaches that which is perfect is the completed New Testament revelation, then that's when they cease.
Mark chapter 16 makes it absolutely clear that Jesus was speaking to the disciples, telling the disciples to go out and preach, and those that would believe them, which now becomes a third party, that those would go out and signs and wonders to follow them, casting out devils, healing the sick, so forth and so on. Which cuts the very heart of another doctrine that that Pat teaches, which is that the Holy Ghost was given, and these miracles and miraculous works were given to a select few. Which is not the truth. The 70 they just read there, these that was just spoken of here, the ones that was healing and casting out devils in Jesus' name. The disciples didn't even know it. They said, we're going to stop them from doing it. And Jesus said, don't stop them from doing it. Anybody's born, they can't be against me. It's not for a limited few. It's for whosoever will, they can come. When he comes, he gets filled with the Holy Ghost. And if he's filled with the Holy Ghost, as he goes forth these signs, these wonders and these miracles will follow him and them.
Pat, in Zechariah 13, you use the term when it comes to pass. It says in verse 3, if a son would prophesy, dad and mom were to thrust him through. Would you practice that today? Zechariah 13, verse 3.
I believe that Zechariah and the minor prophets, many of the prophets, used a lot of figurative language all the way through. And even some of the passages I mentioned, Zechariah 13:1, there's a fountain open to the house of David to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness, is figurative language. It's not a literal fountain. It's just a way of saying that the blood of Christ will cover a lot. It's not like a trickle. So when it says in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 3, let me put up chart number 9 very quickly, that they will thrust him through, I think that's just figurative language to say is that even after the prophets go out of the land, verse 2, there still be people out there doing false prophecies, and that they should be ashamed because they're not truly, according to God, true prophets. So the point is, even after the true prophets are gone, there still be false prophets, and they should be ashamed. They should, in effect, in the church, we should withdraw from them. And in that sense, we would thrust them through. Now notice this chart. In that day, the true prophets will pass out of the land, but there won't be any false prophets after the second coming of Christ because they're going to be burned up, 2 Peter 3. So there has to be some time between when the true prophets stop and when the false prophets stop. Darrell's position doesn't leave any time like that. He thinks the true prophets and the false prophets will all stop at the same time. But Zechariah 13:1-4 shows beyond any shadow of a doubt, true prophets will stop in that day, the false prophets will continue on, and then 2 Peter 3 shows they will stop at the second coming of Christ. Darrell?
Did I say that, Pat? No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. So, various figures of language in the Bible. I mean, I really don't need to even get up here and talk, to be honest with you, but Pat's talking to both of us. He's saying what he wants to say, and he's saying what I'm saying. It ain't hard to beat me like that, you know. But Zechariah, you know, I mean, look, it's very simple. There were prophetesses in the New Testament in the days of Paul. Paul spoke of prophetesses. There were prophets. There was a fivefold ministry he acknowledged being in the church. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, so forth and so on. Fivefold ministry. Now, nowhere does the Bible say they quit. It just don't. That's why he hadn't given us a scripture today. It don't say that ever quit. At best, it said when that which is perfect comes. And if you think that the Bible is what is perfect in full knowledge over and above the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then believe that. But he that wrote those very words, he quote, acknowledged that I only see and know in part. And so he could not possibly write more than what he knew and more than what he saw. And he only saw in part, and he reads what the man wrote that said, I know in part. So he can't read no more than what the man knew that wrote it. Is that simple?
Again to Pat. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says to desire spiritual gifts. Is it wrong for me to have that desire today?
In Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but that's no longer binding, right? In the Old Testament, it told them to do circumcision and animal sacrifices. That's no longer binding. It's the same way with 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. He had just got through saying in chapter 13 that tongues would cease when that which is perfect has come. So doesn't it logically follow that whenever that which is perfect has come and tongues have ceased, we're not supposed to desire tongues anymore? Whenever that is, that would logically follow, right? I think it would.
Sacrifices, the Lord said, stop it. He showed me a passage of Scripture. In the book of Matthew, he kept referring to the time of which the temple would be thrown down in 70 years. That happened. He can show me a date for that. Everything he just got up here and said, started and ended, he can show me a date. He can show me a place where God said, stop the sacrifices. On everything he just said, he can go to a passage of Scripture and show you where God said stop. So I ask you to do the same for this about gifts.
Pat, if God isn't working miracles today, how is my son alive? How do I have a healed disc?
I know a lot of Mormons and all kinds of folks that don't even believe in Jesus that make the same claim. How did their disc get healed when they're not even don't even believe anywhere close to the truth, yet they claim miracles? So it is within the realm of possibility that God decided to heal your disc, but it had nothing to do with a man laying his hands on you. But it also very possible that your disc healed through natural means, which occurs many times when people think the doctors say that somebody's going to die. Yet they're atheists and never even ask God to be healed, yet sometimes they live. That occurs in the world today many, many times. We just never know, do we?
That sounds like a part of
being that it is true that if a person confesses a miracle, then it's always a wonderful thing for a person to be able to prove that it's a bona fide miracle. It is true. I believe in miracles and I believe miracles happen. There's a lot of trickery. There's a lot of lying that goes on. And true enough, you can go over to everywhere you want to go, hoodoo and voodoo and doo-doo and all the rest of it, and see folks get it, you know, claim for their healing. That is true. But the fact of the business is that the gift of the laying on of hands is a biblical New Testament, New Covenant work and process. The apostles laid hands. Others laid hands. God works through men. He has always done that. In every age, every dispensation. To say that God no longer will heal through someone praying or laying hands on you is best I can say out of line. He says God can do whatever God wants and intervene wherever he wants. Then how come he couldn't intervene in me and lay my hands on you and heal you, impart my faith to you, whatever. God can do what God wants to do. That's all he is doing.
And we have one final question. This is the last question, again, addressed to Pat. In 1 Corinthians 12:29, why ask, are all workers of miracles? If miracles aren't for today, why ask this question? 1 Corinthians 12:29.
You know, that's, of course, a rhetorical question. Are all workers of miracles? I think the questioner is assuming the answer is yes. That's not true. The answer to that question is no. Paul is saying, are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? His answer is no. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. The answer is no. Then the next chapter, verses 8 through 10, says that prophecy and tongues will stop when that which is perfect has come. Have y'all missed that? Now, we can debate when that which is perfect, what it is, but whenever it comes, tongues are going to stop. Do you believe it? So all these points about chapter 12, verse 29, and everything else, act as if that passage is not even in there. No, tongues are going to cease at some day. Now the question is when? What is that which is perfect? We've proven that it has already come to pass, past tense. The same way that Daryl knows that the destruction of Jerusalem is past tense.
Pat proved that just like every occult in the land proved, everything they proved as without a scripture, which he's been asked to produce. He can produce a scripture where the Bible says sacrifices started and stopped. He can produce the passages. He can produce the times and the dates of which the Bible said Jerusalem be thrown down, not a stone left upon another. He can produce the date where it's set and where it was fulfilled. What he cannot do and what he will not do is produce a passage of scripture that says that the gifts of the Spirit came and that they stopped. It will not be. It is not. And listen, to those whoever asks a question about the spiritual gift, should you seek the spiritual gift? The answer is yes, you should seek. You should seek the spiritual gifts. Certainly, you should covet those gifts and seek those gifts. And how do you know? Because you are a spiritual being. You have not ceased to be a spiritual being. And as long as you are a spiritual being, you will need spiritual gifts, because hamburgers don't do for the spirit. Spiritual gifts is what does the spirit. So long as you are a spirit, then you must seek spiritual gifts.